This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
Is that a thing?
I don't know. I don't feel comfortable asking. I don't know. I feel like it's going to get a lot of people mad.
Vanessa in trouble? I'll be in it with you. I don't know.
Why don't you say it?
What? People take the day off today?
Yeah.
Send their kids to school?
Why do you need a whole day off?
Who takes a day off? I honestly don't think that's a thing.
All right.
I think that's
But just, a lot of people do, right? They take the day off to send their kids to school?
I don't think so. Maybe a late arrival?
Yeah. We heard there was kind of a minor announcement.
Right.
And remember, next week, first week of school, so a lot of people will be gone from the office.
I'm not trying to be a jerk about it. I don't understand. My kids go to school. I don't see why you need a day off for it.
Right. You want a little late arrival. You want to be there and send them off and everything else. I totally get that and stay late. Now, in our job, we can't do that because the light goes on at 7 every morning. But if you have a job that has a little flexibility, I would get that. But an entire day off? An entire day? What do you do when they go to school? What do? You park in the parking lot?
I don't know.
What do?
You just hang out and like
get to work.
Binoculars through, like make sure they're okay in the school.
Is that like one of those first kids things too, where maybe you take the day off when it's your first kid and by maybe the third, you're just like, yeah, get off the bus, have fun, whatever.
Or let's say it's like that. What do you do at like 8:30 after you've dropped your kid off?
I don't know. My mom would drop me off at 5 a.m. as soon as the Boys and Girls Club. We would be waiting outside the Boys and Girls Club for her to drop me off.
Yeah. All right, good stuff. All right, Huskies lose a 5-point loss for them against Auburn in Atlanta. It wasn't ugly. It wasn't pretty. It was just sort of, they got beat in the early and late parts of the game, won the middle. And unfortunately, they didn't do enough in the middle because they had problems in the red zone. There's a lot of blame to be passed around. Mm-hmm. The question I have for you guys is, how serious is it? I mean, is this now like, oh, well, there goes your chances for this year, and you can hope maybe still for a Rose Bowl, but your chances of being in the top four at the end of this thing and in the college football playoff again are pretty much toast because you lost to an SEC team already? Or is there a path back to success here for the Huskies? More good or more bad to come out of
Saturday? Yeah, I like the way you phrase this here. More to like coming out of that game Saturday? More to like? With how you respond in the second half, more to like as you went up and down the field against Auburn, more to like as you had 25 first downs, more to like or more not to like with unfortunately just some critical errors in the wrong moments. For me, it was more not to like. And it may be a better debate and Howdy and I could get emotional over this thing and I can be more reasonable and say there's more to like, but I can't do that. I can't do that. Not with what was on the line in this game. For you individually, Jake, for you collectively, Washington, for you as a team in the Pac-12 conference, as a conference. That unfortunately there's more not to like because the bottom line business, he didn't get it done. And Chris Peterson knows it. That's why he was a bit agitated and frustrated. You know, he pointed some fingers at play calling, which he obviously pointed at himself because he's a part of that as well. But, yeah, there's a lot more not to like coming out of that game. Then you start the second half, Mike, and you get a 3-and-out. You get the ball and you drive it right down. And here you go. Make the statement. Finish it. Finish the drive. Score a touchdown. And you run a pick play, and unfortunately, you just run right into the DB.
What a terrible play.
Just don't run.
Is that Pacelia, too?
Yeah, just
don't, turn around.
Just do anything but that. I mean, you got him beat. Jake does a great job reading the blitz.
They don't call pick plays in college football. All you have to do is turn around, and it's not a pick play.
Just ole. Just ole. Just get out of the way. You've done your job. You've run at him. You've created enough distraction. He's open by 10 yards. Just fall down. Just get out of the way. Do anything but make contact. And then, you know, you run an option play and you fumble and then you miss a field goal and just, oh my goodness.
Well, there's a bunch of stuff that's confusing. Why do teams treat the red zone the way they do? It's really odd. Like, it's stacked up. Doesn't the fact that it's stacked up make the option work harder to work? Like, I would think the option...
No, if it's stacked up, you want that look to get one guy on the edge that you attack right away. So if it's stacked up, you want the option affords you a chance.
I guess I mean more compressed. There's a lot of people in and around the line of scrimmage because you can't send anybody 40 yards down the field.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea of running option doesn't make a lot of sense to me. The idea of that fly sweep inside the 10, it makes no sense. And they ran that one with Chico McClatcher. That didn't work at all inside the 10.
The bummer is the first time they ran that.
The quarterback draw, like all three plays are really odd.
Yeah, that tape alone, and there was a lot of snaps. And I charted... Kind of went nerdy yesterday. Right? All six series there, and there's 20-plus plays. And those are the hardest ones to watch. Those are the ones that, oh, my gosh. Like the first time they ran Wildcat with Chico, if he hands it to Ahmed, it's a touchdown. It's all the way to the field, and there's one guy. I mean, he's going to score a touchdown. And unfortunately, that time he decided to keep it and ran right in the pile. And the next time he gave it to him, And that thing was dead on arrival. Like, I mean, just, oh, everything that could have gone wrong on so many of these option play.
Yeah.
Just don't run it versus two outside.
I think we can talk about that from now until the cows come home. And credit to their defense, they kept Auburn in front of them for the most part. Didn't cause a turnover, unfortunately, which they really needed to do. But at the end of the day, they have a four-year starter in Jake Browning, and he doesn't get it done in big moments, or at least he hasn't. It's been true against Alabama at the end of the first half, throwing that pick, when really they probably should have kneeled on the ball, but the one thing they couldn't do was throw a pick, and instead it's a pick six, and that pretty much ended the game against Alabama in the Peach Bowl. Against Penn State, he wasn't up to the task, had probably his worst game in college. Against USC, he had a tough one. Against Stanford, we won't forget him running around at the end of the game, desperately trying, over-trying to make a play that really wasn't there. And that's what seemed to happen at the end of the game on Saturday as well.
There's a commonality in all of those teams you referenced in those games. And those aren't just the losses and highlighting the negative for Jake, because he's done some unbelievable positive. In fact, on Saturday, made some unbelievable throws and plays.
Incredible throws.
Third and nine.
I've ever seen him make.
Yeah, third and nine, scramble there.
That was a great play.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, the throw for the touchdown was
phenomenal.
Amazing by Pound.
Made a bunch of those. So this isn't just highlighting the negative, but there's a commonality between every one of those games you referenced, and that is defenses that can run. Defenses with pretty elite speed where the game gets faster, the windows get smaller, and your decisions have to be more precise. And unfortunately, in some big moments, tough one for me.
I have a super embarrassing story about myself when they scored that touchdown, when Pounds had that touchdown, but I don't think I can tell it yet. I'll tell Howdy about it later. He's just going to make fun of me. 206-421-3776, David's in Lacey. Hold on. David, go ahead. More to like or and be excited about, or more not to like and be disappointed by?
More not to like and be disappointed. I'm just so disappointed in Browning. As a four-year starter, that game just showed me he's really a middle of the pack average quarterback. And after 4 years of being at Washington, he should be better than this.
Hey, I got a question for you. Is it David? I got a question for you. We're gonna tackle this tomorrow. Danny O'Neill wrote about it at 710sports.com. I would really advise going and reading it. And tomorrow will be a little emotional because we're gonna talk about it. And there's some comparison to be made to Damon and I starting for 7 years and some of the challenge, and certainly not living up to expectations my last year of school and carrying some of the weight of that. Do you find it hard to, or how do you navigate being really critical of a college player? Do you find it easier for a pro player, or do you find it with a college player just kind of equal ground?
Well, I think just try not to personalize it too much, Yeah. It's not his chosen profession. So he's at the college level. I would just say that he hasn't fully developed for whatever reason. And, I just name calling and all that stuff, I don't want to hear that. We don't need to go there.
There's no need for that even really in the pros. I mean, there's no reason for the personalization of it. But I'm with David, and I'll say this, Brock. At some point after 4 years, if you're a mistake repeater, and that's not name-calling, that just seems to be the problem in these big games, either it was on the coaching staff to develop you better or was on the coaching staff to find someone else.
Hey,
right?
Kyle, you have that Chris Peterson sound talking about the play calling and talking about some of the challenges down there in the red zone. And, Coach Peterson, I think, has a pretty honest and transparent relationship with players and coaches. Here was Coach Peterson talking about some of those struggles in the red zone.
I think it starts with us having a better plan. And I say that I'm involved with the red zone, so I'm talking about myself. I think we have to have a better plan there, give our guys a better chance. I think they're one of the better red zone teams. Like, you could see that last year when you put the tape on and they seem to pick up where they left off in terms of how they play down there.
Yeah, they're a good red zone team when the run is working. When they're able to just, run doggies over.
Sure.
and off you go into the end zone. That wasn't going to be the case against an SEC team like Auburn.
Nope.
It's just not. That may work against other teams in the Pac-12 or as, the Montanas of the world from last year. That's not going to be the case against Auburn, and so you need your quarterback to be a difference maker in those spots. Jarrett Stidham was, And in this game, unfortunately, Jake Browning wasn't.
Stidham was twice, to be fair. Right? He threw the one touchdown. They both had beautiful passes, and receivers made phenomenal catches. Yeah. So they both threw a touchdown in the red zone.
How sweet was that?
And then Jarrett handed off on a third and seven. Right? On a third and seven, he had a run for a touchdown, and Washington could not do that. So I would say, actually, it was fairly equal in those circumstances because Washington held them a bunch in the red zone. And by the way, that's what good defenses should
Why is a draw? I mean, if you want to fight back and forth, why is a draw available? Because he's thrown the ball pretty darn well, and especially in the red zone. So I think that's why that third and seven works. But whatever. The point of the matter is they didn't get it done.
So how do you answer that question? Is there more to like for you?
It's college football. Isn't the season over?
No.
Do we keep watching at this point? What's the point? You've already lost the biggest game of the year. It's over.
Don't go Nick Saban or Jim Harbaugh.
What's left? No, it's not true. I mean, the one thing we've learned about college football in the last few years is that everybody seems to lose in October and November, and that basically what you've done is eliminated your margin for error. I'll tell you what, though, lose again, it's over. I mean, at least to do anything of significant note. I mean, this is where I get myself in trouble because for me, I want my team to compete for the college football championship, and for most college football fans, they just like want to enjoy the party and maybe go to the right bowl game. And I don't see the value.
I don't know about that. I think there's a lot of programs that do. I don't think that that's the mindset here. Just win 8 or 9 games and get to
the
bowl.
Right bowl.
I don't think so. I think a Rose Bowl is a pretty unique experience. I think for any fan base, you know, it's a pretty unique one. I don't think this is a fan base that says, let's go to the Heart of Dallas Bowl. You know, I don't think there's any of that, especially not with this team. You know, not with 6 seniors that start on defense, not with a 4th-year starting quarterback, not with a senior running back. I don't think there's any – I don't get that sense.
Yeah.
But I will say you're right. In 11 days in Salt Lake City, season's on the line. Well, your season's not over for losing this one, but in 11 days when you go play at Utah, a game, by the way, that's come down to the final 4 minutes the last 2 years when you've been, I think, a better team than them. And this year, Utah is better than the previous 2 years. It's a better incarnation. In 11 days, your season
Who's
is largely on
the there this
line.
Year?
The kid from last year, Tyler Huntley.
Man, that kid's good.
You can run?
Yeah, that kid's really – I mean, he was really good.
Yeah, when he escapes the pocket, unlike Stidham, whose world got rocked, that kid escapes and does a lot more damage.
That kid is – that is a challenge. And to go to Utah and try to play them there, I think, is going to be a heck of a game for the Huskies on Saturday. All right, Brock, in the meantime, Seahawks make moves. The one thing they don't do is deal with Earl Thomas. It's been essentially a non-conversation throughout the entirety of this preseason. And now is the time. I said this on Friday. I'll say it again. I'll say it very, very specifically. Earl Thomas, report. He should report. This would be the time to do it. It seems very clear that the other teams out there aren't desperately interested in making a big deal for you.
Mm-hmm.
The Seahawks aren't negotiating with you. This isn't like Aaron Donald where there was a negotiation. It's not like Khalil Mack where there's a likely trade coming and everybody is interested in dealing for him. They've been trying to trade him now forever. What's the advantage left for him? The advantage is to come in and play, to go show the league what you're made of and what you can do this year. And unless deadlines spur action, and this week is the week that a team is going to finally make a deal for him that they weren't willing to do at the draft and weren't willing to do at any point since then, maybe deadlines spur action, and this is the week where Dallas finally decides they're ready to make a deal for Earl Thomas. But if not, why not just show up? Why not show up and play? And by the way, you could still get traded.
Well, I'll give you his side of it. I've gone down this road, and I've already sacrificed 7-plus figures. I'm not going to get hurt. That's the only thing from his side, is I'm going to wait till my contract gets to 10 weeks, and I have to report for it to toll and actually count and become an unrestricted free agent, and you're not going to see me until then. I've got to keep myself healthy. This is now, if I've gone down this far and been this stubborn and this hard-headed and taken on these amount of fines, then at this point, all I got left to do is to continue to protect my interest in myself. And
how is that protecting his interest in his
So I'll be healthy when I become an unrestricted free agent. And I don't
You're probably less likely. Excuse me. You're probably less likely to be healthy if you skip the first 10 games of the season, then show up late.
See Dwayne Brown last year.
You're probably less likely to be healthy. I would think if you were Earl Thomas, what you could prove to the world here in this season, go out and get yourself paid next year. Why not?
Yeah, because of that. Because he wants his money now. He wants it here, or he wants it somewhere else. And maybe a little birdie just, you know, texted me today and said there could actually be some conversation. For the first time, to your point, Dallas has some $18 million in cap space. They cut a pretty good kicker, one of the most accurate kickers in NFL history, to free up another $3 million bucks. So they've got actually enough money on their books now through these different transactions that if they ultimately want to get this deal done, they can get it done. So if deadlines for, I've not heard anything on Earl for the last 4 to 5 weeks. But if there is any movement, it may be here sooner than later, and it may be, you know, the team that everyone has pointed to from the beginning.
You guys found yourself thinking about Earl, and we can keep the phone lines open here, 206-421-3776. Do you have thoughts on Earl? Like, he's been sort of out of sight, out of mind for a month or so now. Really, we've not talked about him. Seahawks did an incredible job of making this a non-story. Tedrick Thompson played well enough in the preseason that we weren't talking about him, making mistakes left and right in the desperation to find that guy. And the fact that this season feels a little different and with a little less desperation than the last few, a little less urgency, mm-hmm. probably changes some of that conversation naturally. But it's interesting, the Earl Thomas story kind of goes away for a while. And now, as you gear up for the first game on Sunday, playing against Denver in Mile High, like all of a sudden...
This is crazy. And maybe I'll sound as stupid as I did about Robbie Cano, maybe or maybe not, as the Mariners haven't really played great since Robbie came back.
Yeah.
There's a big part of me that really does wonder if they'd be better for Earl being here. I haven't thought about him. I didn't watch those games say, oh, Earl makes that play. Oh, Earl makes that play. Earl's not a pass rusher. Earl's not a corner. Earl in this scheme stays on top of everything. It makes those guys.
What if you brought him back and had him play right corner? Is that a possibility? Earl, we're glad to have you back. Here's what we'd like you to do. Play right corner because we've got a bit of a hole
right?
there. Yeah, play a little corner.
You still run forward.
Right. I mean, he's more of a slot corner if he's going to play at all. But yeah. Look.
I have not for 1 second thought, oh my gosh, Earl's going to make this thing so much better. And I don't know, after missing all of this time, if all of a sudden he comes back this week without practice, without playing, a guy that's married to the game, who needs his work, are you telling me with 2.5 days of practice that he would be the Earl that we have seen through 9 years? I can't say that definitively. I can't. And on top of it, with a team that's hit the total reset button, and what are you saying to Tedrick Thompson? And what are you saying to Delano? What are you saying to Bradley McDougal? What are you saying to those guys as you have reset your culture? And I think made a bunch of cuts that actually enhance your words. What do you say to them if Earl comes back? Oh, you're the starter. Sorry. Everything you did this.
Who said he starts week one?
Everything you did this preseason, everything that you've done, all this, you know, this fondness we've talked about. Sorry,
who,
you're
gonna, who you're says say. He instantly finds himself in that?
I don't think
lineup.
He does. I don't think he does. So, do you want to pay him his $500,000? And
we don't have a choice. If he shows up, that's what you have to do.
Correct.
I mean, that's the thing. Earl can put it to them. That's another reason why, if I'm him, I show up instead of having all of the pressure be on me. Put all of the pressure on the Seahawks. Hey guys, I'm here. I'm ready to play. What are you going to do about it? Are you ready to play me? Are you ready to move me in? Who are you going to cut, and how are you going to play me? Are you going to make me sit on the bench and spend all my money? You're not going to do that.
Right.
So,
now he's on the reserve did not report list.
That's
so
right.
If he does show up and he wants to be active and he passes his physical,
Are you going to cut another third-round pick in Delano Hill for me to show up? Like, I think you absolutely put it to them the moment you show up. Take all of the pressure that might be on you and put it directly onto the Seahawks, force their hand, and then maybe you're able to get a deal done in a trade because they're a lot more desperate to do it, right? Well, God, I don't want them here. This is a problem.
Yep.
All right, fine. Let's get a deal done. We thought we wanted a third, but okay, fine. We'll take a fourth or whatever. I think it would make so much more sense for him to get into the driver's seat
I heard that
by playing.
Just at the start of the segment, we talk about people taking the day off. Like, Earl took the day off to bring his daughter to school.
Day off from what?
So he's now got time. I don't know, from his workouts and his Instagram posts and everything else. He took his day off, so now he actually has time.
You're telling me he can't?
If you want to get something done.
You're telling me he doesn't have time after dropping his kid off at school to work out?
I'm not sure.
Is he like Clayton?
I don't know.
Like, he's got to spend the rest of the day working on his database?
Who knows?
Like, I'm sure he's got time after that to go
How
work out.
How many of you
wants.
Took the day off to bring your kids to school?
It seems like a lot.
No, there is not a lot. Don't even tell me you're seeing texts right now. I'm having my pumpkin spice latte. I took my day off. I'm just sitting in the coffee shop. No, you're not. You're at work. Drop your kids off and get to work.
Why is that like a weird national epidemic? Like, oh, my kid's going to school. I got to take the day off from school.
Texters are saying the parents are partying. It's like the kids are back in school, so we're taking the day off.
Yeah, two words, day drinking, says one. Kids are gone, so it's time to party.
Classy.
That's fair. Like, if that's the reason, I'm on board with some of that. That actually, I think, makes some sense.
Are you going to move your day drinking day, the one a day you get a year? Are you going to move
yours?
You mean
yours? My Christmas, pre-Christmas day drinking?
Yeah, you're not going to move
that? I keep that for a Friday before Christmas. Right. That's sort of when that gets done. All right, 206-421-3776. You want to talk Earl or the Husky game? Gary's in Kirkland wants to talk some Huskies. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. How are you?
Gary, you feel better or worse about this Husky club and this season after Saturday?
What I feel worse about is the offensive coordinator, who I consider a rookie in the play calling, especially in the red zone.
Yep.
And that has to be fixed.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Gary. Well,
you ready to get rid of him?
No, I can't get rid of him at this stage.
Well, all right. You said it had to be fixed. I wasn't sure what you meant. I just wanted to drill down a little bit. So, I wasn't sure whether you're already out for blood there, Gary.
No, I'm not out for blood. All right. I just, you know, you call in the red zone in the first half, quarterback draw in the red zone in the second half, an option in the red zone, not with Jake Browning, who I consider a really good quarterback.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with both of those calls. And I don't know how it works collegiately. In the NFL, you typically, as far as red zone goes and installation, you'll typically, in the West Coast system, we would have like five plays between the 15 and 20, five plays between the 10 and 15, five plays between the 5 and 10, and about five different plays from the 5 going in. So you had about 20 total plays in your red zone in your plan every single week in the NFL of, hey, this is our coverage, this is the matchup, this is our plan, this is how we want to attack it. I don't think it's quite to that extent. I know it is. Going back to my college days, I know it's not quite to that extent. But when you talk about this game, you're talking about six trips in there.
Yeah.
You're talking about 20 plays that were the most significant of this game. You went up and down the field. Second half, you were in there every single time, four out of the five drives, and you just could not get it done.
I mean, you feel better about this team moving forward because they lined up against Auburn and looked just as good, if not better, than that team. And you didn't know how they were going to look coming into that game. So, yeah, they're as talented and have the ability to beat, you would think, pretty much anybody now. Like, you proved that on this stage. The hard part about this is you played terrible. Like, you lost that game. Auburn didn't necessarily win that game in my book. UW lost that game. So that game feels terrible. But moving forward, yeah, I'll probably feel better about them.
And Auburn had the second-year quarterback, a rookie running back, four new offensive linemen. Right, they had a lot of the young pieces where in every one of those categories, you had the experience factor. Right, you had a proven team. You have six seniors on defense. It did. Held their ground in the second half, gave you every opportunity to score and put it against them, and you just couldn't quite get it.
All right, let's take a quick break, come back, get a whole bunch more of your calls here. You got people hanging on to Suki and Tom and a few other people. 206-421-3776, the phone number. We also got to answer the questions you're coming up here in about 20 minutes. You can start texting in questions to 710-710, powered by Coors Light. If you are on your way to work today, despite your kid's first day of school, God love you. I appreciate it. The struggle is real, and I'm impressed with all of you. I should also say, and I screwed this up earlier because I said Seattle is not going to have a strike. Strike averted in Seattle.
Right.
Not yet true, by the way, in Puyallup or Tacoma.
Oh, no.
So, I don't mean to ignore the difficulty. That is a huge challenge if you're trying to figure out what to do with your kid. So if you're in Tacoma or in Puyallup or some of the other districts around where there's still no deal worked out, man, I hope it gets worked out for your sake and that you don't have to try to find childcare for longer because that's
challenge.
Good luck. Yeah. Boys and Girls Club, probably an option. Some other places. Not really sure what you do. All right. Be right back. It's Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio,
this is Brock and Salk.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com.
All right, 206-421-3776. Husky fans have been awakened. Hear from you guys and your thoughts on the weekend. Tom's in Seattle. Tom, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, buddy.
Hey, I want to touch on two things. I mean, obviously, there are some positives to build on in that game. Playmaking at the receiver position.
Yes.
And largely, I think that the line of scrimmage, you know, the defensive and offensive lines on both sides held their own a lot better than they did 2 years ago against Alabama.
Yep.
But ultimately came away disappointed in a couple of things. One, Brock, you hit upon this earlier, but, you know, whether in any sport, football, basketball, soccer, at the highest level, the game speeds up, and it really separates the pretenders from the contenders in terms of the ability to play at the highest speed and the highest level.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've seen consistently that, unfortunately, as good of a guy as he is, Jake doesn't have that. That's number one. And number two, I haven't been listening that long this morning, but I haven't heard it touched upon. I thought Jimmy Lake really got crossed up several times in this game from a defensive play calling standpoint. Definitely early in the game.
Yeah.
And I realized that dropping eight worked quite well against Auburn between the 20s.
Yep.
But Auburn made no secret that they wanted to be able to run the ball in inside the 10-yard line.
Yeah, Tom, great phone call, my friend. I just want to get to a few of these others. I think a couple really good points. I think it would have been naive for any of us, and I'll raise my hand, to think that Jimmy Lake and Bush Hamden were going to be ace play callers the first time out. I don't know what you do in life where you're like awesome the first time out, where there's not value and experience, especially in coaching, in this media profession, your first law case, your first time in front of a class, first time you drop your kids off to school and take the day off. Whatever it is, you are never as good the first time around. You're just not. And I think there is a learning curve to climb. And when you play that opponent, it exposes everything. Now, to Tom's earlier point about the receivers, to me, that had to be the brightest spot because those guys showed up and showed up in some of the biggest spots.
Taking another shot. Oh, a spectacular catch by Quinton Pouch for the touchdown. How did he haul that one in?
That's a pretty good catch.
Ah, that was pretty
sweet. That was a pretty good catch. Fuller had a couple nice plays. Ty Jones looked pretty good. Yeah, that group looked better than expected. You could see why Chico McClatcher wasn't listed in the top three.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks like he's kind of fallen behind the rest of those guys, and they'll use him in some spots, but that those three guys really look like they're going to be your wideouts. I got embarrassed. I was with my buddy Rob, and he referred to him as Quincy Pounds.
Okay.
I was like, I don't think that's right. I think it's Ezra Pounds. And he was like, no, it's definitely not Ezra Pound. And we looked it up, and of course, Quentin Pounds. Do you know who Ezra Pound is?
Is that a musical artist?
He's an expatriate American poet and critic and a major figure in the early modernist poetry movement. I was like, I know the name Ezra Pound.
Of course you do.
Yeah, but it's not him, as it
turns
out. You
should see this guy's pretentious facial hair, too.
Did you look it up?
It's revolting.
Look this thing up. Howdy, look up his facial hair. Look
I'm
at his mustache.
I'm looking at it right now.
It's ridiculous.
It looks like Littlefinger from Game of Thrones.
So ridiculous.
Can I say one more thing?
I was super embarrassed
by
that.
I made this point earlier this morning to start the show about Jake. I also think, Tom, and I'll speak specifically to you since you made that call about Jake. I will also say when you get to this stage, you get to this moment, and it's really hard to say what you're not.
Mm.
It really is a competitor, is anything, to realize what you are, but equally what you're not. Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Drew Brees and these guys, they're not scramblers. They don't try to be. This is what they do. They live in their strength. And I think one of the challenges, honestly, for Jake is he feels like he is invincible, can run around, can create. That's a huge strength of
his. Well, you heard Brian Griese say it. He was like, oh, and this is a part of his game that doesn't get enough credit, run around. I just remember thinking, no, it's not. It's a part of his game that he thinks is better than it actually is and seems to be more of a problem than a solution. Yep. Let's grab John, who's in Marysville. Hi, John.
Hi, I got a couple of good things, but I'm going to give you a bad one first. I didn't like the option call down on the goal line. When
no one did.
There,
yep, no one did.
You go down there, you go to your go-to guy's strengths. Jake's not a runner. Mm-hmm. You don't run the option that much. Let's go with something a little better. The other thing is I thought the Husky defense did a pretty good job of stopping the run. That's going to be encouraging on there. Rest of the season.
Okay.
And I'm going to leave you at this one. they're not out necessarily of a national playoff picture yet. Okay. What they have to do is run the table. They have to beat good quality teams in the form of their ranked opponents and not step back against somebody that's not ranked. But they're going to need, I think, a little help from those opponents that are ranked to do their part and win their big games.
Yeah.
So that might get them back in.
That's a good call. I will say this, Utah in 2 weeks. Now, if Utah goes to Northern Illinois this week and lays an egg, that's bad news for the Huskies. Utah needs to go out there and beat Northern Illinois by 40 in their building, capitalize on their week one win, be ranked in the top 25, because I think Utah is a good team. Washington now also, as weird as it sounds, needs Auburn to be good. And that secondary of Auburn, not good. You know, you got Auburn at their very best.
They got one guy with a cast on his hand and another guy who's making his first start since playing wide receiver. That's
not
a good sign.
So you need Auburn to win and win 10-plus games. And I don't know if I would walk away from that game with Auburn's O-line.
Mm.
Their running back, I don't look at that team
Stidham's
in the SEC.
Good,
well, he's good. He is.
He seems like he's been one of the better quarterbacks I've seen in the SEC for a while.
Yes.
And I mean, the SEC has not delivered quarterback after quarterback who looks like a pro prospect.
Yep.
He does.
And in 11 days, you're going to have to beat, you're going to have to beat Utah. You're going to have to go in their place and beat them.
Sheesh.
And it's not going to be easy. That's probably the most difficult place on the road in the conference as far as an environment. You beat them 2 years ago on a punt return with 3.5 minutes to go that Dante took back to the house. You beat them last year on Jake's marquee drive, like the one huge moment he had where he delivered at the end of the game. And they're going to have to do that 11 days from now.
Didn't it? Was it they who had a great game against Washington State last year? Wasn't there a great Utah-Washington State game, or am I thinking of something else? I feel like that's – am I crazy on that, Kyle?
You may not be crazy on that.
You don't remember? I kind of look to you to remember these
things. Yeah, I don't know exactly.
What do you mean you don't know? That's literally your job here. How do you not remember that? You remember everything, and you're the big Coug fan here.
If it was a road game, I probably remember. If it was a home game, then the things get a little fuzzy.
Fair enough. Suki's in Renton. Hi, good morning, Suki.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Hey, man.
Hey, I'm just disappointed, to be honest. Just especially Jake Browning, just because he's a four-year starter, and just the plays he's made kind of like made me especially earlier in the first half when he threw that interception. He should just throw it away, but he just probably just flicked it, and it was an easy interception. And
Suki, question for you: was that one like just did that one sting emotionally as much as like any game in the last few years?
Yes, because we could have proved that, as the team could have, proved that they've grown and, improved and say, here we are, that they're not flukes the past
year. Yeah, to think of all you could gain. Thank you, Suki, for the phone call. They had a graphic up during the game about the percentage of playoff odds with a win and a loss. And Steve Levy's like, I'm not going to say this is all about this game, but you just look at the percentage swing. Yep. That if you would have gone in there and won – right, that you look at the Pac-12 overall, and ASU's big win. I know it was against nobody, but Cal beat North Carolina, and Oregon ran away, and Wazoo, a good win at Wyoming, and everything else. But instead, it's, you went down there and lost.
Yeah.
UCLA lost to Cincinnati. Arizona lost to BYU, and it just continues some of that negative perception, unfortunately.
Everything that doesn't work is a concern, so you guys only need to ask me that.
Thanks, Chris.
There was a few things that didn't work. Running game wasn't where you thought it would be.
That's a fast flow, really dominant Auburn group up front. And, Miles didn't have 100-plus yards. What did he end up with, 78, 79 against that crew? In that building,
all-time
in a
leading rusher.
Maybe something else that wasn't good. It's going to be the same thing.
We should probably talk more about that. All-time leading rusher in UW history.
He's remarkable.
Congrats to him.
Yep, he's remarkable. There were some huge positives. Just unfortunately, when you can't deliver in those big moments, and we've seen it. And by the way, let's not run a slant anymore down in the red zone. That thing that was tipped and nearly picked as well. Let's not run those. Let's please.
No thanks
we don't need to do that.
On that.
How about Miles getting a little shout out from Pastor Napoleon too?
That was cool. Napoleon Kaufman, who he passed on Twitter.
Very cool.
If there's anybody that could break it, what a good
not
quality
feisty.
Kid.
Not feisty. Not the opposite of feist.
No.
You got there. All right. Coming up next, we're going to answer your question. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. You know this works. You text us questions, and we are prepared to answer them. Coming off a great long weekend, 710-710. Any question on any subject, next on Brock and Salk.
I don't even know why you'd ask that.
This is Brock and Salk. Answer the question, jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
All right, let's answer your question, 710-710. Powered by Coors Light. That's how it works. Actually, I have, no questions.
Should we answer them super feisty or super
positive?
Answer
the question, jerk only works when Howdy's in charge. We learned that last week.
Oh, that's true. I mean, what was it flooded with, 1,000 questions when we put Howdy in charge of it?
We're a lot of questions.
I wanted to play that. Can we play then, once some more questions come in, can we play that Chris Peterson?
Which one?
Yesterday? Oh, the super feisty.
He's feisty.
He was. I love this feist.
He's definitely feisty. I got it here. Hold on.
He was not happy about this.
You guys tell me. You guys got all the answers. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, I always try to respect your guys' process, but you guys don't respect our process. Well, I haven't met with Trey or his parents. We're meeting later with the doctors and all that. And we got guys in this room reaching out to Trey when they hear he's out, which everybody in here knows we don't reach out to our kids. So that whole thing's really frustrating to us.
Everybody in here knows? I don't get that.
Clearly, everybody in there does not.
Well, maybe.
Doug Peterson, by the way, so much feistier. Like, you think that's feisty. Doug Peterson from the Eagles, you think maybe the weight of being Super Bowl champs is weighing on Doug?
Doug, have you made a decision on who will be your starting quarterback, and if so, who is it?
First of all, I appreciate y'all putting words in my mouth this week, and therefore, I'm not going to discuss it.
How were words put in your mouth?
You saw the reports.
What reports?
Next question.
Hey, but who here
Next question.
I have a little reporter here put the words in your mouth.
I'm not answering the question.
I know you said you. Well, that makes no sense. You have to lump us all together.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right,
I'm gonna lump you all together.
Okay, well that's good. We're asking a fair question.
What's the point of this? I mean,
exactly. What is the point of this? It's my decision.
He just enraged those old Muppets in the Philadelphia press corps. Just like, wait, what?
But also, you can't just measure West Coast feistiness against East Coast feistiness. I mean, like, there's Seattle feisty, and then there's Philadelphia.
But isn't Doug Peterson from around here?
Like, that's
from
tame.
Ferndale.
Right?
To think that guy is from
Ferndale. That level of feist can't come out of Ferndale. Everyone there is very nice. I just drove through Ferndale yesterday. Beautiful town. Beautiful area. Avery made her debut. My kids made their debut at McDonald's. First time ever.
What?
Yeah, kids both have McDonald's.
You wait till 9:49 to share this with us?
Big news. Well,
what did they order and how did they like it?
Didn't lead the show?
Are you still married?
Cecily had a cheeseburger Happy Meal.
Whoa.
Avery went with a chicken McNugget Happy Meal.
Whoa.
And were they happy?
Avery said it was the best chicken McNugget she's ever had. I thought I actually heard Heather go... That was Heather next to me in the car. I thought she gagged on something. Cecily wasn't wild about the ketchup that was already in the cheeseburger.
Oh, but that's a thing, though. She doesn't like that
She doesn't
stuff.
Like ketchup, right. So, but she still ate half. Avery loved it and then spent the rest of the weekend talking about when we were going back to McDonald's. Big problems. Heather's not happy.
One of the worst days of Heather's life.
Don't worry. On the way back, we stopped at some sandwich shop that were like, I can't, like, they didn't even have normal food to order.
$15 organic pita.
I've got a fennel seed sub for the kids.
I was like, is there anything I can I have like a... Yes.
We've got Grey Poupon and Dijon mustard we can put on these sandwiches for the children.
Vegan non-whey flatbread flown in from Yugoslavia.
Rough.
Pretentious elitist alert.
Hey, I wanted to go to McDonald's. Oh. I'm not being it. Talk to my wife. Talk to her. I brought the kids to McDonald's.
That's so awesome.
Went great.
Way to go.
Next question.
You know what else I did? You know what I got? Huh. You know, I had a McDonald's.
What do you have?
What do you think?
You went 10-piece nugget.
No.
You went Big Mac.
Big Mac meal.
Did you really?
Oh, so good.
Special sauce, lettuce, cheese.
Two all beef patties.
Wow.
You know it. Pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun, man. Nothing like it.
How good was it?
So good. It was so good. I smuggled it into Canada.
Next question.
Never disappoints, man. Big Mac meal's never going to disappoint. And because the only place I ever find myself at McDonald's ever is like the airport.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, the airport McDonald's doesn't have the hot mustard, which you know is my favorite for the fries.
Yes.
So they had hot mustard. I was able to dip the fries in the hot mustard, which is a huge win.
So good.
That's the... Howdy, have you ever done that?
I don't like mustard, as you might
want. Oh, right. That's weird.
I have the taste of a child.
I don't even know what to tell you about that.
One of the things that Kyle and I share in common.
I don't like mustard.
None
of you guys like
don't
mustard.
Do
Kyle and I don't like condiments.
I'm not a huge mustard fan, to be fair.
Wow.
Very few things.
I'm surrounded by morons.
I only put mustard.
Pretentious elitist alert.
Right, fair. That's fair.
Salt.
Best new trick ever. Order a size of Big Mac sauce and then dunk your fries in that.
Oh.
Never thought of that.
Almost like kamikaze
style. You can just
style.
Get special
can
sauce?
We talk about the U.S. Open?
The kid? Yes, the mom? Lady? No, we haven't talked about that. Brock, have you seen that?
What?
Kyle, explain it. It's disgusting.
They're like coming back from break at the U.S. Open, just showing some like B-roll around the stadium. And this woman is eating chicken strips with her kids.
Okay.
And she takes the strip, dips it in like a Coke or Pepsi or something.
Yeah.
And is eating it as if it were barbecue sauce
it's
or
so
ketchup
weird.
Or something.
In her Coke?
In her Coca-Cola.
In the kids' Coke.
Oh.
And the kids don't even flinch. Like, they've seen this for mom plenty of times.
She dips her fish and chips, her fish, in her kids' Coke.
Yeah, something's not right there.
What? Is this like the eating mayonnaise out of a jar thing?
I mean, worse.
What is happening?
I'd rather eat mayonnaise out of a jar.
To be seen in public eating these things?
I'd rather eat mayonnaise out of a jar.
That doesn't work.
Somebody interviewed that lady, and she said that some people had said she should be thrown in jail for that.
Yes.
And I happen to agree.
I don't see why, like, what worse crime could she have committed at the U.S. Open?
I mean,
frustrating and dishonest.
Thanks, Don.
I'll tell you what was really good Sunday night, y'all fair, was a scone. Oh.
Woo!
It's just something about those scones at the fair. Amazing.
That's actually what Heather got at the pretentious place we went to yesterday. It's like, all right, I'll just have a Marion Barry scone. Okay.
Well, the Fisher scone.
We got this scone. It was like the size of a marble.
Weak.
Very weak.
Next question.
Jerks. I'm playing Sunkady on Friday for my birthday. Nice. What is your favorite golf bet? I told you that earlier this summer I learned Lone Wolf.
Yeah.
Which was awesome.
Yeah, that's
that was
a fun
really
game.
Fun game.
Yeah,
to
that's
play.
A fun game. I don't know if I can explain it or you can,
it's
but
complicated,
it's a good
but
one.
Look yes. up Lone Wolf. Yes. That's a blast.
That's a good idea.
That was really fun.
Yep. Or if you make this putt from like 40 feet, yeah, the guy's got to jump into the next pond.
Whoa.
That's kind of fun.
Pond jumping.
Sure.
I haven't thought about that.
Yeah.
Wow. Jerks, what are your thoughts on people who order fajitas at a restaurant? I've never thought about them. Do you have thoughts on people that order fajitas?
No.
That they like good food?
There's a meme going around that they're people who want attention. They want everyone in the restaurant to like, oh, what's that? Oh,
look
wow,
me.
It's sizzling. Look at
me.
Look it.
Isn't that really more the
that's
restaurant's
not just
fault,
fajitas,
though? I feel like that's a restaurant thing, not the, like...
What's the dessert that starts on fire, the flame?
Bananas Foster?
Yeah.
Or Cheers Jubilee?
There you go. Sorry.
Next question.
You mean Bananas Foster?
Jeez, I can hardly finish the question.
Take it easy, man.
You don't like Bananas Foster?
No, I do.
That is so good.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Cherish Jubilee is not as good, but
you like when they come out with the blowtorch and what do they do with the...
Pretentious elite.
Bananas Foster is not pretentious. They used to have it at Pomona.
Your dessert is on fire. It is pretentious.
No.
It's a fire hazard.
What's a dessert they do bring the torch out for? The cream and they...
What?
Don't act like you don't know this dessert
Explain.
Either.
What is it?
Come out.
Oh, the creme brulee?
There you go.
Yeah.
What do you like to pair that with?
Creme brulee? Probably a port. Go port on that. Maybe some scotch. Go either one. What are you trying to say?
Nothing. Hey, by the way, Danny's in at 8 tomorrow. We're going to have a little good conversation about being a quarterback in
Looking
this town and what that's like. And do we have our little baseball conversation at
9? 9 because he was taking his kid to kindergarten today.
Oh, I had to.
Wait, what?
Yeah. His kindergarten, he was going to be lunch lady man.
They've got 3 kids, though. Come on.
Go.
Okay.
True.
I got to go. I got nothing left for you guys today. It's been a rough one. We'll see you guys tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Until then, the hay
is in the barn.
See you, everybody.
Yeah, Gene pulled himself out today. Got a bruise on his shin.
Get to the chopper!